I believe. I truly believe. Yeah, I believe. In continuation, let me just honor the presence of the Lord. And let me thank him for counting us worthy to release a word. No, y'all didn't get that. Let's thank him for counting us worthy for him to release a word to us this morning. Let's thank him for counting us worthy to release a word this morning. Let's thank him for counting us worthy to release a word this morning. God. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's up to, but I believe. Jesus. Giving honor to the angels of this house. We bless you and we praise you and we worship you. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity, but most of all, we thank the God that's in you. And to all of our live stream audience, this is Frontier Church. And I am Evangelist Alamandria Marita Bernard, and I have already approved this message by way of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In continuation, I'm on a runway. You may take your seats. In continuation of our move from feelings to faith, how many of you was here last night? In continuation of our move from feelings to faith and having faith without sight, allow me, if you will, this morning to just take a snapshot at our father of faith. Anybody know who that is? I can't hear you. Abraham, our father of faith, Abraham. And I'm going to get to the scripture now because I don't know what God is going to do. So if you're ready, we're going to look at Romans, the fourth chapter of Romans, verses 18 through 21 in the NIV version. Are you with me? Romans 4, 18 through 21. Let me read it. Verse 18 in the fourth chapter of Romans. I'm going to read it. There it is. The Bible says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in faith, he faced the fact, it's a fact, that his body was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah Rune was already or also dead. I love this verse here. Yet, somebody say that with me. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded or convinced that God had the power to do what he had promised. Yes. I don't know. I can stop right there because that preached all by itself. All by itself. I want to speak with you for a little bit this morning on faith that grows stronger when faced with impossibilities. Anybody got any impossibilities in his house? I'm going to try that again because, see, I see a lot of perks. God forgive him. Thank you. Thank you for being honest, sir. Thank you. Anybody got any impossibilities in this house? Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to talk about a faith that grows stronger when faced with impossibilities. And some of you may be asking the question, can my faith grow stronger when faced with impossibilities? And if so, how can this happen? How can this faith happen? How can my faith grow stronger? Now, if your faith is in your own abilities or in the abilities of someone else, the answer is no. Your faith will not grow stronger. However, if your faith is in the one who asked the question in Genesis 18, 13, in the midst of their impossibilities, is there anything, come on, help me out, is there anything too hard for me? In other words, is there anything too difficult or impossible for me to do? Are you with me? And may I, or might I suggest this morning that when you are facing or faced with impossibilities, that you might begin by asking this: is this sickness too hard for God? Is this report from the doctor too hard for God? In fact, is this day that God has given to me too hard for God? Is my child problems too hard for God? Is this marriage, I'm not done yet, too hard for God? Is my promotion or the raise too hard for God? Is this supervisor? I done hit somebody's house. Is this supervisor too hard for God? And see, I found out that when you put it this way, it reminds us that God is personally involved and concerned with what concerns you. In fact, the Bible says that he will perfect the things. In other words, he will make perfection of the things that concerns you. Are you still with me? In fact, none of these, and those that I did not mention, God is saying this morning, is not too hard for me. All I'm requiring of you is your faith in me and your obedience to me when you are faced with impossibilities. Keeping in mind that when it comes to our faith walk, we are no different than our father of faith. He's our father of faith because that's what God calls him. And your takeaway for today is, you have to believe what God has said about you before you can become what God has called you. Tweet. Let me say that again because some of y'all missed that. You have to believe what God has said about you before you can become what God has called you. We have to believe the word of God when he says that he's the one and tells us to do the same thing, to call those things that be not as though they were. It's already happening. It's already a fact. When God called Abraham back in Genesis, the 12th chapter, he moved him. We talked about that move on last evening, right? He moved him and he established his covenant with him. God promised to bless Abram, because that's what his name was called at that time. Abram, he promised to bless him and to make his name great. But God had one condition. He had to do what God wanted him to do. This meant leaving his home and friends and traveling to a land that God will show him. And many of us, this is where the doubt began and our faith in him begins to waver. This is also where we begin to question and try to make sense out of what God is saying and has called us to do. Certainly, he can't be asking me to leave all this. My home, my job, my family. No, this can't be God. He's asking me to leave my friends. And then, not only is he asking me to do that, man, he is not even telling me where I'm going. This cannot be God. Mm-hmm. But yet, when he says all of that, doesn't make sense. He makes us a promise as to what he's going to do for us and through us if we obey. What I love about God is that his promises comes with blessings. Are you with me? I have a question this morning, and these are just a series of questions that I'm throwing out this morning. The shoe fit, wear it too tight, take it off. Could our blessing be held up because we are in the wrong place? Connected to the wrong people. All because we refuse to obey God or trying to make sense out of what he said. I'm just asking the question. Could our blessing be held up because we are serving in the wrong place? You see, you were placed here. And now you over there. You were placed, and I'm going to keep saying this till somebody get this. You were placed in the area of your anointing. If you serve well where you are, your gift will make room for you, not you make room for the gift. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you. Stay in the area of your anointing. Don't move. But we're in that place. And now you're tired. You're weary. You're whining. Complaining. You come up with every reason to the point where you're casting blame. Pointing the finger. But let's put the blame where it belongs. Can I put the blame where it belongs? Mm-hmm. Let's put the blame, and I'm going out here because I got an angelic host of angels backing me up. Let's put the blame where it belongs. Let's put the blame on God. Mm-hmm. For your placement came through the man of God. And when you feel you are no longer, or you don't want to stay in the place where you were put, what you're doing is you telling God, I can't do this no more. Mm-hmm. It's not he who puts you in the place. It is God that got you in the place because he's trying to get you out of the place. What are you saying? He's trying to get your flesh, your mess, your feelings, your emotions out of the place that he has placed you in. Through your obedience to him while you are in that place. You want to blame somebody? Blame God. Blame him. He can handle it. He said, you have to believe me in this place of being uncomfortable, weary, overwhelmed. I need for you to believe me in this place, because if you are faithful in this place, I promise to move you to the place that I have already promised you. Mm-hmm. Tell somebody it's a test. It's a test. Watch what you say. It's a test. It's a test. And one thing I learned for sure is that I am confident that he who has begun a good work in you, he began the work. You did not begin the work. He began the work in you. Therefore, he's obligated to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what is your problem? What is your problem? And then you're wondering why calamity has hit your home. Sickness in your life. Problems on the job. Chaos and confusion seems to know your address. Oppression and depression is not only in you, but sitting next to you. Don't look around. But God knows how to move you. The God I serve, you better ask me. Let me save you some time. He knows how to get your attention. He knows what to send your way to get you back in place. Oh, God, it's not so much shadow of a storm that he was sent, but God has often sent a quiet storm. You didn't even know you was in the storm because it was so quiet. He knows what to send to get you back in place physically and spiritually. You're trying to make sense of where I placed you. This is God. And you're trying to do what I've called you to do in your own strength. Did I not say that my strength is made perfect in weakness? In your inability to go on, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I never asked you to go alone. And then I told you to cast your cares upon me. That's up on me. Cast them upon me. Why? Why? Because I care for you. People will care for you for a little while. But if you keep whining and plaining, they are not going to be there. Because what I found out, if you keep giving them attention that God wants the attention, people will drain you. Cast your care upon the Lord. I can't help you. Then he says, did I not say that you can do? Amen. How many things?
All things.
Say it again.
All things.
God put it on the record. All of them in here say it. Through Christ Jesus that strengthens. Why are you looking for people for strength? Why are you looking to people for strength? God say, through me, you can do all things. Through me. God is saying, I'm trying to get the promise of my blessing to you. Did I not say that you were blessed going out? Blessed coming in. Blessed in your uprising. Blessed in your downsetting. Did I not say in my word that I will put none of these diseases on you? Did I not say that? Yes. I'm trying to get the blessing I promised to you. And if you could do it on your own, you don't need me and you don't need faith. Do you have faith? The faith that's required to face your impossibilities, to believe that what he has told you or promised you will come to pass or shall come to pass. Look with me again at verse 20. Verse 20 in this verse. And if you will flip that verse 20 over to the King James Version, because there's something in there that I want to highlight in the King James Version of Romans 4:20. 4:20. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. The Bible says in the 20th verse, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oftentimes, when we hear the word stagger, we think about someone who perhaps is intoxicated or impaired, or let me just be real, drunk. Stagger. And many of us have seen someone staggered before. Yeah. In fact, some of you perhaps staggered in here this morning, and some will leave staggering due to your own unbelief and doubt in the promises of God. You got a choice this morning. But the Bible said that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but was made strong through glorifying and giving God the praise. Can you have faith to face your impossibilities? And I said I was going to tell you how. It's in this verse. Can you see it? But he was strong in faith. What did he do then? Who are you giving the glory to? What are you giving the glory to? Abraham never doubted that God would do what he promised. He never stopped believing. Never. And I looked at this, I'm saying, oh my God, he never stopped believing. And God said, pause. When I made you a promise, never stop believing. Say that with me. Never stop believing. And in the next verse, the Bible says that God makes us a promise. He never stopped believing in this. Oh, he just switched me. He said, go back and tell them. I need for you to explain to them how to hold on to what I said. God said, when you're facing your impossibilities, you need to give me praise. You need to give me praise. Even when you don't feel like it, he said, that's when you need to give me praise. When you don't know what you're going to do, that's when you give me praise. Somebody ain't got this yet. When you can't see your way out, he said, that's when you need to give me praise. When you don't know where the money is coming from, that's when you need to give me praise. Because when you praise me, I will strengthen the things that remain within you that's ready to die. Come on and give God some praise in this house. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Carrie. Romans, in the 21st verse, he puts it this way. And being fully persuaded, fully convinced that what he promised, he was able to perform. I have anybody here that's fully persuaded this morning? Fully. Thank you. Fully persuaded. That means you are convinced. sold out, can't be moved, can't be shaken, don't care what nobody else say. Okay, fully persuaded. Because he was confident in this, and this is what we need to be confident. And this is why he was fully persuaded. Because he knew that the word of God bound him to fulfill what he had promised. I'm getting hot up here. Oh, God. It bound him to fulfill what he had promised. And you can't do nothing with the promise, as we said on last night. But wait, wait, especially a promise that you can't work out. Like his promise to Caleb. Caleb waited 45 years before he can walk into the land that God promised him. And he didn't let a giant run him away. And when I look at this journey of Caleb, there is no way that Caleb could have kept himself strong, but he had a promise from the Lord. Then our father of faith, Abraham. Abraham waited 25 years, had a baby at 100, wife at 99. Touch somebody and say a double impossibility. Touch somebody and say a double impossibility. But here is a man that walked with the folks that would not believe God. And I rose this morning to tell you that you got to deal with the folks all around you that question everything you believe in. But you've got to learn how to shake them off. Shake them off. Shake them off. And tell them, I still believe God. I still believe God. Let them know that you don't determine my future. And I don't need your validation. If God said it's mine, it's mine. And I'm going to hold on to what he said. I'm going to hold on. Oh God, I had to wait for it. I had to sacrifice through it. I had to cry for it. But it's still mine. It is mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Job said it like this. In all of my appointed time, if I get through this and that and another, he said, I'm going to wait until my change comes. I don't care who's backing up on the left, who's backing up on the right. I'm going to wait on God, because God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. If God said it's mine, it's mine. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. No devil, no hex, no praying against me. God said, it's mine. And all he asks us to do this morning is to believe. To believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Many of us are facing impossibilities. God asked a question this morning through me. How many of you are facing impossibility? In order to be restored, you got to be able to tell the truth. I give you nothing that I have not tasted and I have not eaten. I was the first partaker of this. This is not the way I wanted to go. But God reminded me that I call you. And I know who's going to be there when you stand before my people. And everything that they have heard about fighting the power, even now, looking through the lenses of, yeah, Proverbs, would do them no good if they don't believe. If they don't believe. If they don't have faith to know that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. If they don't have the faith to believe that, it does them no good. And what happens is that we come into the service and we get full and we listen, or we pretend like we're listening to what the man or woman of God is saying. But before you can get out that door, the devil has taken the word. Why? Let me tell you something. The enemy knows your weak points. He studies you. He got you figured out. And he knows the perfect thing or the perfect person to send your way to take out of you what you just received. There's some people, the Bible says, as far as it be possible, live at peace among what? All people. Let me go back and say that again. The Bible says, as far as it be possible. And that let me know, no matter how nice I be, no matter how kind I be, no matter how I try to love everybody, he said, as far as it be possible, there's some people that won't let you love them, that don't know how to receive the love, because they have not received the love of the Father. And until you receive the love of the Father, you can't give out what you have not received. If you don't believe that he loves you in the midst of what you're going through, if you don't believe that he ordained that thing that you're going through right now only to get you up in his face, that's what he did it for. He's not trying to kill you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to give you the blessing that he has already promised. I said on last evening, who's in your circle? And if I can go here, just nod your head. If I can go here with this testimony, I just need for you to nod your head a little bit. Who's in your circle? That's in the Bible. Elder Rocket, the Bible said, when they had stoned Paul and left him for dead. You remember that? They left him for dead. The Bible goes on to say, they that were with him made a circle around him. Paul got up out of what appeared to be a dead state and went with his fellows. So my question to you is, your circle, who do you have in your circle? Can they speak life over you? Can they speak life over you? Can they call on you in the time of need? Or will they be the one that stone you and leave you for dead? Earlier this week, I had just talked to an individual of this congregation, having our morning chat. Have an awesome day. God bless you. That kind of thing. Talk to you later, if God permits. And I had an engagement to do on Tuesday. And something just told me, something, forgive me, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, check your phone. And I checked my phone. And let me show you how quick life can change. This individual had just went to the doctor last week for a mammogram. Everything was perfect and fine. She goes back Tuesday for her annual exam. And all hell broke loose. I can say that. I'm free. I'll suffer the consequences later. But you need to call it what it is. And I got the text, and the text began to explain what was going on and what was happening. And I'm in a place of some strange people. I don't know these people. And I'm reading the text, and I said, not so, not so. not so. And I put the phone down. And I'm trying to be cool because I'm around some strange people that don't look like me. I'm trying to be real cool. And the next thing I know, I went, I grabbed that phone. I called the individual. I said, not so. God said, not so. Don't you waver. Don't you faint. Don't you even look at it. God said, not so. Not so. And quietly she said, okay. Okay. Because I had located her faith. And she knew, you can't call me with no foolishness like that. But yet, she knew who to call. She knew who to call. What they had found was so bad, they wouldn't even let her go. She had to go immediately for additional testing because it was huge. Huge. I didn't faint. I didn't waver. I said, devil, not so. Take it back. Take it back to the pit where you brought it from. Take it back. And about an hour or so later, and I hope she don't run all over this church. About an hour or so later, she called back and said, not so. Not so. What they thought they had found was not there. What they thought they had found. But let me tell you something. The devil is into details. But God is trying to locate your faith. He's saying to her, if I heal you the first time, when I heal you, my healing is complete. And you need to believe the report of the Lord. So my question this morning to you is, whose report are you going to believe? Whose report? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet this morning. There's some that's waiting on a report now from the doctor. But all you got to do is to praise God in advance. Praise Him before you get the call. Praise Him because you know that He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. And the chastisement of His peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, listen to this, we what? Were healed. Were healed. We ain't trying to get our healing. We were healed. And if you want to shame the devil this morning, those that's waiting on the report of man, I dare you to step down here this morning because God said He's going to turn it around. It's by your faith. You waiting on the report from man. God said by faith, if you come, He said it's already done. It is already done. He said, I healed you the first time. Mind, soul, body, and strength. He said, you are in the impossibility because I allowed it to happen. Just to see who was going to be you, going to be your first responder. God said, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to kill you. I'm not trying to destroy you. I need to get the promise of my blessing to you. You have been in this place long enough. You have been in this place long enough. Wavering between fear and doubt, hope and disbelief. You've been here long enough. If God is who He said He is, then you're going to have to take God at His word. You're going to have to take God at at his word. And I don't know who this is.